So hello everyone, today I'm going to talk about how to solve the double scheduling problem in case of VMs with our paper titled Scaling Guest OS Critical Sections with ECS. So here ECS means Enlighted Critical Sections. Well, as we know that there exists a mismatch between a virtual CPU and a physical CPU. So what do I really mean by that? We have this physical machine and you have cores. And these physical cores are sort of a hardware abstraction that is being scheduled by the hardware, the underlying system. But when we start running virtual machines, what happens is that in that case, we have vCPUs. That is being scheduled by the physical CPU or the underlying scheduler of the hypervisor or the OS, host OS. This vCPU is a sort of a software abstraction. Well, this mismatch becomes even more evident when we start running multiple VMs that have like multiple vCPUs. And we are actually having contention on the physical CPU. So what does it really lead to? Well, there's a possibility that the vCPU can be preempted without any notification by the underlying scheduler. And the reason is that there exists sort of a semantic gap. This actually leads to double scheduling problems. Well, one such issue is called lock holder preemption problem. Suppose you have this green box which represents vCPU, and we have three vCPUs that are running inside a VM. And then you have a circle that represents a running task in a VM. And at this point, and they want to access, one of the tasks wants to access a file, and it has to acquire a lock. Suppose it's a task A, it first acquires a lock, becomes a lock holder, and starts accessing the file. In the meantime, the other processes, other tasks such as B and C will also join the queue and will keep on waiting for the A to release the lock so that they can also access the file. But there's a possibility that the A can be preempted because the hypervisor doesn't know what is really happening. Well, this actually leads to lock holder preemption problem, and it can hinder the forward progress of the OS, and can lead to application slowdown by 20% to 1 to 30%. Well, there have been a lot of research efforts to actually alleviate, mitigate, or solve this problem. One of the approaches have been focused mostly on the non-blocking locks, in which what they say is that the lock holder should only acquire the lock if it has sufficient scheduling time, so which they have to figure out somehow. The other very interesting and extreme approach is you can do some sort of hot plugging of vCPUs on the fly. Well, this approach works pretty well on small core VMs such as 4 or 8, but for large core VMs, we don't know what is going to be the problem, the bottleneck, but we think like it will be most likely in the form of IPIs that you have to do. The other approach that has been also explored in research as well as also adopted in the industry is the VM's core scheduling approach. What happens in this case is that you try to schedule sets of vCPUs off a VM together. It does not alleviate the lock holder preemption problem, but to a certain extent, it is still fine. However, the current practice, if we want to look at in the operating system such as Linux kernel, what is happening is it is not really trying to solve the problem. It is indirectly, it addresses the problem in the form of the other kind of preemption problems. So it tries to make the lock blocking and tries to use some sort of hardware features to mitigate the preemption problems. So what we can see here is that most of these prior approaches are either specialized or they are not directly solving the problem. Why do I say that? And the reason lies is the double scheduling problem has two categories of problems. The first category is the preemption of different kinds of locks, because we just don't have spin locks in our operating system. They can be blocking locks, read-write locks, or even your RCU, other things can be also preempted, which we can see, which is possible for mutex, read-write semaphore, or even reader locks. Or even if we think about IO-intensive workloads, the interrupt processing context can be preempted. The other problem that happens with large multi-core machines is a blocked waiter-wake-up problem. So the problem is that you want to wake up a blocked thread inside a VM, and that particular vCPU is actually idle or has been scheduled out by the hypervisor. The cost to wake up that vCPU or a task is at least 10 times more than what you have been running on the OS or directly on the host side. So for instance, the cost is around 8 to 10 microseconds to wake up, but it goes to almost 100 microseconds at least inside the VM. So clearly, there is some sort of a scheduling semantic gap that is existing between the virtual CPU and a physical CPU. So how can we address this? So our insight lies in the sense that a vCPU at any point of time may be running a critical task. So can we avoid preempting that particular vCPU that is running a critical task? And the design lies in identifying and marking and unmarking that critical task. For this, for identifying these critical tasks, we come with our approach called enlightened critical sections, or we try to identify each critical section in the form of enlightened, as an enlightened critical section. So what do I mean by that? Here we have a same example. What are we doing is we introduce some sort of a logical notion of enlightened vCPU. What happens is when we have the same example from the last time, here again tasks are trying to access a file. When task A comes and acquires the lock, it also becomes enlightened. And then it starts accessing the file. The same thing happens when B and C also come. When A goes back, it reverts its state. And when B acquires, it also becomes enlightened. So what we are looking at here is that we are taking the critical sections that are being guarded by locks. So we consider all synchronization primitives in this form because they actually ensure the forward progress of the OS. And we are marking these critical sections before and after release and acquire and release of the locks. Even though our approach might sound very conservative as we are covering so many locks, but it's quite effective in the sense that we can address almost all kind of preemption problems, such as ranging from blocking, non-blocking, RCU, or even interrupt contexts. For instance, we just need 60 lines of code to annotate 85,000 lock invocations that happen in the kernel in 13 million lines of code for Linux. So we can actually identify the task, but then how are we going to notify the hypervisor? Or how are we going to share the information? In order to share the information, what we do is we actually have some sort of states that is being shared by each vCPU of a VM with the hypervisor. For instance, we call these states as ECS states here, and we have sort of four hints that we are trying to provide to the hypervisor or vice versa. So the first two hints are denoting that a vCPU might be running a critical task such that the hypervisor may know and can do proper scheduling. The next two are about whether a particular physical CPU is overloaded or a virtual CPU has been already preempted. This can be used by the critical section, the design of critical section or the locks to avoid some sort of block waiter wake up problems. Or in other sense, it enables efficient scheduling. To actually schedule this, provide these hints, we provide six lightweight para-virtualized methods. The first two actually address the VM to hypervisor in the sense that they are just want to provide the hint whether it's a preemptible, whether it is running a critical section or not. As we can see here, we have two almost similar kind of non-preemptible and preemptible ECS count. Please look into the details. Why do we have that? It's just mostly for the locks that are sort of preemptible and the locks which are not preemptible, and how do we actually handle them. The other two are the physical CPU overloaded and the vCPU preempted, which is actually provided by the hypervisor to the VM and is updated on every schedule by the hypervisor and reset by the vCPU when it is running. Here, one of the vCPU preempted is already in the main line since past 1.5 years and has been used for figuring out what is happening with the lock waiters. Now we have this whole lightweight, we can actually now identify and we can actually share the states. Now how this whole things looks like when we try to run something, when we try to do schedule these vCPUs. So on your left-hand side here, we have the same example. And here we are taking the ECS count. For the simplicity, I just made it as ECS count. And on the right, on the bottom side, we are actually talking about how much time it is getting, the hypervisor is providing the time. So in the first step, the hypervisor allows vCPU 1 of VM 1 to run. And then it's at that point of time, the task A comes and acquires the locks. And then it becomes a lock holder. At this point of time, it also becomes enlightened by changing the ECS count to 1, which is shown here in the third case here. And then once it is running, what happens is that it starts accessing the file. B and C will also join, as usual. At this point of time, it is almost about, the hypervisor figures out, oh, it is out, about to finish its time. It should schedule vCPU 1 of VM 2. But then at that time, it checks, the hypervisor checks the ECS count, which is 1. And then it thinks, OK, let it run for some more time in order to finish the critical section. It allows it to run for some extra time. And by that time, ECS, the A is done. And it reverts the state again. After some point of time, the hypervisor comes back again and checks what is happening with the what is the ECS count at this time? It sees that it is already zero. It deschedules the VCP1 of VM1 and schedules VCP1 of VM2. So if you see, and then later it comes back and schedules VCP1 of VM1 again. So what we can see here is that in one case, we actually extended one of the schedules for VCP1 of VM1, but in the other case, we actually penalized it. Why are we doing this? Well, the reason lies in we want to ensure the system eventual fairness. Why? Because we don't want one of the VMs to be starving and have less time compared with the other enlightened VM. For this case, what we do is like we try to account for always the extra time that we are doing and later penalize the enlightened VM, which can be informed in two ways. The first is we can penalize the scheduled VM in the very next run, or we can extend the schedule of the non-ECS VM or the next VM by extending its schedule. One point to note here is that we are optimistically extending the time for the enlightened critical section, and the decision is actually made at the scheduling boundary. We are not doing any sort of hypercalls. So the other point we would like to mention is that we just need some extra time, and here in our scenario, we take as 1 millisecond, which is sufficient enough to finish almost every critical section, almost. So, on one side, the VCPU is allowing the hypervisor to make efficient scheduling decision by avoiding the preemption of the enlightened task. The other approach can be that the hypervisor can also provide the information, the scheduling context, to the VCPUs to make efficient scheduling decisions in the case of when it is running a lock waiter or blocking synchronization primitives in order to avoid the block waiter wake up problem. So for that, we actually implement a simple virtualized scheduling aware spinning. What happens in that case is the lock waiter now does not go to sleep. It keeps on spinning until and unless the lock is acquired by it, or if the physical CPU is not overloaded and the virtual CPU is just running that particular task. In terms of implementation, we actually rely on paravirtualized VM, and we further extend the scheduler PM notifier API to check for the ECS states. We also rely on scheduler tick to avoid preempting a VCPU when it has more than one task. Our overall implementation is 1,000 lines of code, and mostly it is in the form of paravirtualization hooks or the preempt notifier hooks. And the annotation of these logs just is around 60 lines of code. In terms of evaluation, we would like to answer two questions. The first one is, does ECS improve the application performance or the VM's performance? And the second point is, does the hypervisor maintain the system eventual fairness? We actually ran all of these workloads or setup on an 8-socket, 80-core NUMA machine. So in order to evaluate the impact of ECS, we have two scenarios to consider. The first is the overcommitted scenario, and the other one is the undercommitted scenario. In the first scenario, in the overcommitted scenario, we are running two VMs with the same application. So here, the applications are Apache Web Server, which is serving the static pages, and PSearchy benchmark. PSearchy is a parallel search and indexer, which reads the files and indexes them in memory. So for the Apache Web Server, we measure the throughput, higher is the better, and same goes for PSearchy. For the Apache Web Server, on the y-axis, we have the number of requests per second, and for the PSearchy, we have the number of jobs per hour. What we can see, and we are running two cases, one is the VM, and the other one is the ECS. So ECS is our implementation. What we can see here is that ECS actually improves the application performance, or the VM's performance, from 1.2 to 2.3x. And the reason lies in it actually avoids the preemption problems plus the block waiter wake-up problems. And the other point is we also avoid up to from 85.8 to 100% of the preemptions by just using an extra schedule, which is sufficient enough to avoid the preemptions. The other, in the case of undercommitted scenario, what we are doing is we are just running a single VM with an application. And here the application remains the same. The first is the Apache Web Server, and the other one is the PSearchy. So we also introduce one more data point to compare against the host what is really happening if the application was running on the host itself. So what we can see here is that still, but even in this case, we are improving the performance because we actually avoid the block waiter wake up problem, which is evident after 30 cores in both of the workloads. So, but the other important point that should be captured is that we are still unable to avoid the blocked waiter wake up problem to a certain degree in the case of pSearchy. And there are two reasons for, in the sense that we still have that problem, like we are scheduling out a vCPU, and that is happening because of the inefficient implementation of the read-write semaphore or the mutex or the blocking synchronization primitives in the Linux kernel. In order to ensure the system eventual fairness, we did a very simple experiment. We ran two VMs. One VM is an ECS VM, and the other one is a non-ECS VM. And what we do, and the application that we are running is a very simple micro benchmark, which is actually reading the file. It just issues the read system call and is stressing the reader side of the read-write semaphore in the Linux kernel. So it will lead to a lot of reader's preemption problem. What happens in the ECS case is that it actually, for a time frame of 10 seconds, what we observed is that 4.95 seconds is actually spent in both the VMs. Even though ECS is avoiding preemptions, up to like 300 preemptions were avoided, but still the hypervisor is actually penalizing the ECS VM by allowing the non-ECS VM to run for more time. In terms of discussion, what we think is that we can actually put this code or put this whole design ideology to the mainline, in the sense that because the preempt method is already in the mainline and it leverages the steals time struct, which actually exposes whether the vCPU is preempted or not, and we have leveraged the same structure to do to implement everything. The other part lies with this whole design is that we actually annotate each and every critical section. I think like we can actually further broaden the scope and can construct a coarse grade of function as critical sections such as TLB shutdowns or IPIs. The other part lies in extending this whole concept to the user space. So, but for that, we actually require composable scheduling abstraction to support user space, which we are working on. In summary, we present you that a double scheduling problem can lead to several preemption problems that can happen unlike prior approaches. In order to solve this, address this problem, we propose six lightweight paravirtualized method to annotate these critical sections and further leverage the hypervisor to mitigate the vCPU preemption problem and allow the vCPU to make efficient scheduling decisions on the context what the hypervisor provides. In summary, in essence, we believe that it's a very generic approach to mitigate all preemption problems. Thank you for listening to me, and with that, I'll be happy to take questions.
Hi, Sudarshan Viswanathan. That's a good talk. So I had a question, like, did you take one of these locks and in the initial part of the talk, you mentioned that the specialized lock is not efficient for different types of locks, right? So I'm wondering, like, if you took like one of the lock and specialized it as much as possible and compared with your more generic implementation and kind of had some kind of difference.
The locks that we are using, they are the most optimized versions that is already in the main line. So it's like the main comparison. We just don't take the other one in which they try to provide the last ESS paper, in which they have the scheduling, like schedule only when you know that you have a sufficient time. But in the case of KVM, hypervisor, the CFS doesn't provide you how much time it is going to give you. So that is sort of not possible to implement. But this can be implemented in Zen, that is true. But we didn't do that.
A question? Okay. Hi, Andy Tucker from Google. Actually, I worked on something very similar at the OS level dealing with multi-threaded applications. Long time ago. But anyway, one of the issues we came, and I was interested in your solution to this, is I assume you've considered the problem of an evil guest that just always says, I'm always in a critical section, and I should never be preempted.
That's a good question. So that's why we say that we are going to provide you one extra schedule. So in the very next time, even if you have a critical section, we will not allow you to run again.
Okay.
So it's like you'll just get one extra time, and after that you are going to be preempted out, whatever be the scenario.
And then you're penalized for that extra time?
Yes.
In terms of priority.
So CFS already takes care of that because if you know the underlying implementation.
A question?
So at the beginning, Jason Hennessy from NetApp. So at the beginning of your talk, you mentioned that You wanted to cover things that weren't just in the kernel, but also user space, mutexes, and things, if I'm remembering correctly.
We just wanted to concern with the guest OS or the kernel side, not the user space side.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw something about mutex in there, and so.
So mutex is like the in kernel implementation also.
Okay.
So there's mutex and retex semaphores, RWSM.
Oh, okay. So my question was going to be then, and maybe you can take a stab at it. How would you extend this into user space? And if you did, how would you prevent the user space from messing with the kernel side of the scheduling?
So the very simple approach can be that what we have thought is that we can take the same approach and put it in the kernel side because it's very generic in the sense that you have the new notion of user space preempt count now. And then we try to figure out whether that count is greater than 0 or 1. But we may end up having extra cost we have to pay because we are trying to figure out whether it is running an extra schedule at that time or not. So I think it can be still a bit problematic one.
Hi, Jim Muller from Inaria. I think there was a paper doing similar stuff at the last Eurosys, discovering critical sessions in the...
So so that paper was like this year you were talking about, the scaling guest OS. So what this that paper assumes is that you expose the critical sections and then we will try to put in a pool to avoid the preemption problems. But that paper is already assuming that you have these coarse-grained critical sections. You're already providing them. Ours is like very fine-grained, and that's why I say like it's conservative. So ours is a sort of a, both of them are like, I would say, complementary. And you can just take that approach and put it here, just to allow. But we thought like, we still think like this approach might not work because you may end up moving to a different vCPU. You may try to reschedule that particular task or vCPU on a different pool. There you may end up having more IPIs, and for large VMs, I don't think so it is going to work. And there will be a preemption, like there will be overhead.